Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, we're 10 days into Euro 2020 now, and after two rounds of group matches, we're beginning to get a sense of where all the teams stand. And I'm joined for a look at all of this now by Guillaume Balaguer, presenter of the Pure Football podcast and Spanish football journalist. Good morning, Guillaume.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for joining us. We're going to talk about your own team, Spain, in just a minute. But first of all, we have news this morning in the last hour. Scotland's star player on Friday evening, this is Billy Gilmore. He tested positive for COVID, and everyone would, first of all, wish him a speedy recovery. But in terms of the football, what does that mean for him and for his Scottish team?
It means that he has to isolate for 10 days. If you go by what happened with Spain, for instance, and Sweden, where some of the players also tested positive, they get taken away by an ambulance, in the case of Sergi Busquets, to his home in Barcelona. And then they have to wait for 10 days until they get a negative test. In theory, in normal life, if it happens to you and me, the people that are close contact to us, they will have to isolate as well in the UK. But I hear that in football is a little bit different. They, of course, get tested literally every day. So they also have this rule in which the close contact is a little bit loose and the team will continue training, basically.
Okay.
They will be tested again every morning.
Right, so they're being tested anyway. And I called him the young Billy Gilmore. He's only just turned 20. What did you make of him on Friday, Scotland's performance on Friday? He played an integral role.
Absolutely, he was some call him the Kanté of Scotland. I think he was in a way more than that. Certainly, he ran a lot without the ball, but when he had it, everything he did made sense. You look at him, and it's like he must be 30. He must have played these kind of games before, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. So it's a big miss. They have Croatia next, and they have to get a good result to actually go to the next round. So the team will have to respond. The important thing at this point, for what I've seen with Sweden and Spain, is the psychological support to the team. Because right now, the doubt is, will it be an outbreak? Am I positive? What happens next? So they have to put a lot of positive spins and messages to the players so they focus in the job at hand.
Yes, yeah, because as you say, the psychological impact of that can be quite severe. So now let's move on to the big question where you are in Barcelona. What's going on with Spain?
I don't know. It's terrible. It's terrible. Now, to be honest, I think we warned everyone. This is not the Spain of 2008, 2012. It had been three tournaments in which Spain failed. And this is the weakest Spain that we've seen. Weak in both boxes, in our own box and when we have to attack. And it was interesting to see Luis Enrique, the manager, being very humble after the draw against Poland, saying, they surprised us. They deserve this. We actually have to improve. Because normally what he would do is just fight with the media, fight with the world, create this sense that it's us against the world. But he was humble enough to realize that actually it's going to be hard to go very far in this tournament. But we've got Slovakia next. We beat them. We go into the next round. It may just be the end of it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, you predicted this, didn't you? That this would be roundabout where you'd be.
Yeah, well, not surprised. It's the weakest midfield. I said we're weak in both boxes. You see what Lewandowski did with our centre backs, and of course Morata missing chances. But it's the weakest midfield I remember in Spain, and I've watched a lot of games for the last 40 years. Still the weakest. So with what we've got, the first game against Sweden, the draw was frustrating. The second one against Poland was like, that's what we have, isn't it? So, yeah, we just resigned to the fact that we will be knocked out soon.
And you mentioned Luis Enrique. I mean, he will be under serious pressure now because the Spanish media is a bit like the English media when it comes to what they might see as underperforming teams, underperforming managers. Can you give us a sense of the pressure he's under?
Loads. Does he mind? Zero. He doesn't care. But it is very true that, especially the Madrid media, not by chance I mentioned the Madrid media, because there is no Real Madrid player. They wanted Sergio Ramos to be the 25th or the 26th player to be taken to the Euros, because we only took 24, and you can take 26. But Luis Enriquez thought he was a parallel power, that he didn't want to bring him in. He's physically not well. And if he wasn't playing, his face, you know, those people that are not happy and just show it in the face. They say one thing, but the face is another. Yeah. That's Sergio Ramos. So Luis Enrique didn't want that. Hence, this, especially the Madrid media saying, see, I told you, you should have told him, as if he, you know, we always try to explain problems in football very simply terms. And many say that, you know, no Sergio Ramos, this is why it's going bad for Spain. Mm-hmm.
And you think, given what you said there earlier on, that even if they get out of the group, that it's not going to last much beyond that?
It depends on the draw, certainly. I mean, we could face England next. And in a way, I'm praying that that's the case, because if we get knocked out, it was like, ah, well, it's England. You know, they deserved it. But if we don't, it'll be, oh, my God, are we going through? So let's see. But if we go first in the group and it's not in our hands, Sweden beat Poland and they got first. But if we finish first, well, it's a much easier draw. It will depend on that. But don't think that we're going to go further the quarterfinals.
Okay, okay. Well, sometimes people talk down the chances of their team, don't they, in the hope that they might come out. And you mentioned England there. What do you make of them after their draw with Scotland on Friday?
Did they got a draw and a victory in the first two games? Is that 4 points? Let me have a look. Actually, yes. Because it doesn't look that way, does it, when you listen to the reaction to the draw against Scotland. And I think expectations and doubts are the biggest killer of confidence throughout the team and also outside the team. Because what we saw before the tournament, it was like, we don't want to say it, but our team is pretty good, isn't it? It's quite good, these youngsters, and they're brilliant up front, blah, blah, blah. And then you don't see that in the performance. Why? Because Southgate has decided to win it, to win the tournament, like France do. Solid, very solid, not risking. Fullbacks, don't go forward, stay back. Midfielders, every now and again go forward, but mostly defend. And that, of course, doesn't make anybody fall in love with the style. But they got 4 points, and I'm sure they can grow in the tournament. It's just that the expectations are that they will not just win, but kill opposition. And you don't do that. Everybody knows how to defend. Everybody knows how to set up well against another rival.
So you expect they have a couple of more gears they can travel up through?
I'm sure that they can. The problem is they've got two ways of thinking up front. Harry Kane, what does he do with Spurs? Give me the ball and I will distribute it, or maybe score myself. But what does Mount and Sterling and Foden, who's around Kane, how do they think collectively? One, twos, I run. They don't have a single reference up front like Kane is for England. So two ways of thinking about the game. How you mix that, I'm not sure, but in any case, you'd say if they defend, if they don't concede, they've got quality up front.
Yeah, because people have been saying, haven't they, that Harry Kane has been a bit of a disappointment, but perhaps he's just doing what his manager has told him to do.
He's doing what he's comfortable doing. He's doing what he does with Spurs, receive the ball, link up. He doesn't have the explosive pace that he had perhaps in the past. So it's his intelligence what he's trying to use here. But the rest, they think in differently. I'm sure that he's been told, stay with the centre-backs. The ball will get to him. Be patient. Don't drop deep to get the ball. And he's still not doing it enough. So he's not a number nine like the other guys around him want the number nine to be. So it's the mind, it's the tactics that have to change. Not much time to change them, though.
Italy is the other country I want to talk to you about, Guillaume, because they beat Wales 1-0 yesterday. They haven't conceded a single goal. Would you say they're the clear favourites after the weekend?
They didn't play Portugal, though. I think Germany, you have to count on them. What they played is Switzerland, Turkey and Wales. Not the strongest teams, but they look really exciting everywhere. The full-backs get into the box. The centre midfielders get into the box and score. Look at Locatelli when he wasn't even going to play, when Berratti, another midfielder, has been injured. He's come back. Let's see who plays. But in any case, everything that they do is exciting. High tempo. But high tempo with quality, and that kills teams. It's just that you must have seen in tournaments when teams start really strongly and then maybe don't get to the end. Yes. We'll see if Italy is like that.
Okay, okay. And it may be the opposite when you think about England and what they're doing. I want to talk to you about the final, jumping ahead a few weeks now, because there's some speculation, isn't there, that the final might be moved from Wembley altogether to somewhere that might allow more fans in. What are you hearing about that?
It will be Budapest. Why, I don't know, because I think we should look at what has happened in Budapest. one homophobic banner has been reported to UEFA, and there's been other incidents, racist as well. But in any case, add that Hungary lawmakers passed a law barring LGBT content in schools, which goes against EU law. I think that should be considered. But okay, apart from that, it looks like UEFA and the British government are coming close to an agreement by which guests of UEFA, that's about 2,500, that includes broadcasters, sponsors and directors, will be able to come in, be in a bubble, not need for tests even perhaps. We'll see the details of it, but they can come in and out of the country. The thing that's been discussed is how many fans. At the moment in Wembley, you've got 50%. They may be convinced the British government to put 75%, but also what do you do with the foreign fans? How do you get them into the stadium? Still to be discussed. It's quite positive. It looks like he will remain in England.
Guillaume, thank you as always. That's Guillaume Balaguer there talking to us about Euro 2020.